waymaker. Miracle worker. Wow. Light in the darkness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we can be here this morning to sing those words, to proclaim that truth. God, we just pray as we open your word here in these next few moments. We pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Enlighten us to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, it's good stuff. Well, we're talking about the church. As we work our way through Ephesians, and we're in the third chapter today, and if you've got your bulletin, you might want to just grab them and be ready to go. But before we jump in, you know, I've just been thinking about, you know, this whole thing that Mel talked about, this mystery. And that's what chapter 3, really beginning at chapter 2, in chapter 2 about midway through and into this third chapter, really is all about this mystery of God that sometimes we don't seem to understand. And I was thinking about mystery. I thought, you know, everybody seems to like a mystery, except for one group of people that I've just noticed recently. They're not so much into mystery anymore. You know what that group of people is? Anybody know? New parents. What do they want? What's the craze now for new parents? Gender reveal parties. You know what I'm talking about? Gender reveal parties. And you know what's really interesting is to see parents who are about to have a baby, and they kind of have to make theirs outdo the one that they watched on YouTube, or they watched on Instagram, or you know, they watched on Pinterest, or whatever they, however they do. You know, they want to one up the person before them, right? And so sometimes these kind of things happen. You know, cool gender reveal, or maybe something like this. Your car catches on fire. I don't know. Crazy stuff going on. I mean, just for a gender reveal, you just catch your car on fire. Yeah, let's do that. Or you get this kind of thing happening, where suddenly he's not too happy because he didn't want another girl. I love that. Too much girls. It reminds me of my niece and nephew. They were going to have a baby, and they just did a reveal party not too long ago. And they had their little boy, who's 5, with a ball bat, and they threw a pitch to him, and the ball exploded, of course, and it exploded pink. He flipped out. He slammed the bat down, and he says, "I don't want any more girls." And he stomped his way into the house. And I thought, well, you know, everybody loves a mystery, except when it doesn't go your way. And you know, sometimes we're like that in the church. You know, we like this mysterious part of who God is, until we don't understand it. And then we're not too keen on it. We're not too cool about, well, that's such a mystery, we don't really understand it. Well, we're going to talk about that this morning. So grab your bulletin or turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to read the first 13 verses out of Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles, as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you'll understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now, by his Spirit, he's revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. That's a big deal, by the way. Just that sentence is a huge deal. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone the mysterious plan that God, the Creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Check out verse 10. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith, this is another big deal verse, all right? Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you. So you should feel honored. Yeah, we all enjoy a good mystery now and then. But when Paul writes about this mysterious plan of God in verse 3, he's using this phrase to help us understand that he's talking about something that's beyond our natural knowledge. It's something that's been revealed to people through God's Spirit from time to time. Somebody said, God understands us so thoroughly that He has hidden mystery in everything we do. There's not one thing that we know completely or fully. Even the words that we use all the time, like love and joy and life, in many ways, they're a mystery to us. We know they are absolutely essential to us being and existing, but we don't fully know what they mean. We struggle constantly trying to understand. We're ever confronted with the mystery. The mystery of God that Paul talks about in this passage is a mystery that's been revealed, opened up, and shared, and can be seen, and yet it's still a mystery that's very much veiled. We don't know it all. We don't see it all. It doesn't really matter how long we've been walking with Jesus. We still can't see it all. We still don't understand it all. And that's what Paul's talking about in this passage. Even though we gain an understanding, the longer we walk with Jesus, there's more things that we begin to understand. I mean, if we've had a relationship with Christ for a long time, we suddenly read Scripture and it kind of opens up to us. And we're like, oh yeah, I get that. Oh yeah, I know what that means. I get all that. But there's still a lot of things that, I don't know, maybe you don't, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of things I read in Scripture, even today, that I'm like, what? How does that work? How did that happen? And what is going on here? There's still a lot of things in Scripture that are a mystery to us. It doesn't really matter how long we've been walking with Jesus. In fact, I've told you many, many times that my favorite verses in all Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your steps. He'll make your paths straight. Okay, I said that. I've followed that. I believe that. I know that's true. But I'm telling you, the more I live life, the more questions I have. Is that true with you? I mean, sometimes we just don't understand. Sometimes it's still a mystery veiled. Even though God is revealing Himself every day in our lives. And so Paul talks about this mystery revealed. And so let's talk about that. Let's explore that just a little bit. In verse 6, God has revealed something that no one else in previous generations had ever understood or known or figured out. God has revealed this important truth to Paul. And Paul gets to have the privilege of sharing this incredible revelation to people there in Ephesus. He's talking to this church there in Ephesus. He said, look, don't miss this. This is God's plan. He's unveiling it for us so we can suddenly have understanding of it. And earlier in this passage that he's telling God's people, he wants God's people to have this glimpse of truth. If you step back and you go back into chapter 2 and start about verse 11, and then you begin reading through that and you get to where we are today, suddenly you realize that this, what he's talking about, what Paul is talking about, this great mystery that's been revealed, is really about us. Well, okay, it's not exactly about us, but it's about Gentile people. And that is us. Not people of Jewish heritage. God has included, that's what Paul is revealing here, God has included the Gentile people into this incredible experience of being in relationship with Him. That's an amazing thing. And Paul says, you know, nobody understood this before, but God has allowed me to see it, to know it, to live it, and now to share it with all of the church. And that's what he's saying here. He says, look, the Jews of the Old Testament were called what? They were called what? God's chosen people, right? God's chosen people. So anyone who was born outside of the Jewish heritage or Jewish lineage was considered in those days to be an outcast. I mean, it was like different ends of the spectrum. Gentiles here, people outside of this Jewish heritage that didn't know God, heathens, just unbelievers, whatever you might want to call them, and then God's chosen people on this side. Right? That's the way it used to be. That's the way it was. And the plan of God that Paul reveals here in this passage is that God is going beyond all of that. And God has chosen Paul to be a grace extender to the Gentile people. So that grace now, and what is grace again? It's God's what? Unmerited favor, undeserved favor. We can't do anything to earn it. It's not something that we deserve. And what Paul is now coming to say to the Ephesus church, to the Gentile nation, is that, hey, look, this grace, this blessing of God into your life, this ability to be in relationship with Him, that's God's plan. That's God's plan. Suddenly this part of the mystery is revealed. The riches and blessings of God are available to all persons, to Jews and to Gentiles alike, who are part of Christ's body, the church. God in His great wisdom has made us heirs of His. We are, as other translations put it, fellow heirs, citizens, with all of God's people. That's what chapter 2 talks about. Mel talked about this last week, this peace of God that comes when we are reconciled to God, that we have this relationship with God. Look at, well, you don't have it, but if you have your Bibles, you can look at it. It's verses 19 and 20 and 21 of chapter 2. Listen to this. You Gentiles are no longer foreigners. You're no longer strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as a cornerstone. So what does all that mean? Well, it means that the same rights and privileges of a covenant relationship with God are now on equal ground, Jew and Gentile alike. It means that the peace of God that Mel talked about last week is now available to all persons. You don't have to be in a certain heritage or lineage. You can have the peace of God and it can be real in your life. You can have a reconciled relationship. It's bringing two parties together. We get to be, what Paul's saying is, look, here's what it means. It means that we get to be the body of Christ. We are the people of God. Once heathens, once chosen people, now are together as the body of Christ. A select people solely because of God's grace. Not because they were good enough, not because they deserved it, not because the Jews finally were enlightened and said, oh yeah, let's let them in. No, none of that. It was because of grace. God's grace through faith. That every promise made of God in the Old Testament to His people was now true and equal to these new persons who have come into the body of Christ, the Gentile believers. What Paul, this mystery of God, this plan of God means is that because of Jesus, that Jew and Gentile alike, every man and every woman and every boy and every girl has the opportunity to receive the promise of reconciliation and redemption. Every person. It means that this amazing part of God's plan is now revealed. There's no other name that can transform lives. There's no other name that can save. There's no other name that can offer eternal life. Even though today's world tries to say, oh, there's lots of ways to get to heaven. There's lots of ways to get into a relationship with God. No, there's one way, and His name is Jesus. Only Jesus can make a real difference. So that's one part of this mystery revealed. Then in verse 10, Paul says, here's the second part. He shows us the impact of God's purpose. Verse 10. Let me find it here. Verse 10. God's purpose in all this was to use the church, to use people like you and me, to use the church in all of its rich variety. See, none of us are the same, right? None of us have the same gifts, and we'll get to that here in a couple of weeks. None of us have the same talents. None of us have the same blessings. But God chooses to use all of us, to all of the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places to show them the truth. So now here's a second part of this mystery revealed. Think about that for a moment. That God would use the body of Christ. God would use people like you and me to make known God's plan for the world. God's understanding of things that matter the most. God takes ordinary people and uses them in an extraordinary way. The very existence of His church is for a higher purpose than any of us might ever realize. I don't know about you, but it is an amazing thing to me to think that God takes people who were spiritually dead. Think about this for a moment. God takes people who are spiritually dead and gives them life. And then allows them to be part of His amazing plan to take His message to the world. That blows me away. Paul himself was an amazing example of what he's talking about here. Just in Paul's own life. You think about Paul, who was Saul before. Paul, he was a Jew. He was one of God's chosen people, and yet he was a persecutor of the church. He was a Pharisee. He was a rule keeper. And it was Paul whose life was absolutely, totally transformed and changed. Because of what? Because of God's grace poured out upon him. God met him where he was, like he was, didn't expect him to change from who he was at that moment, and said, look, I'm going to pour my grace onto you. I'm going to do something in your life that you never believed possible, and changed him, transformed him in a snap of a finger. Paul was living out the mystery of God right in front of them. They were seeing it firsthand. This guy who was once far off, who was a foreigner, who was a stranger, now is part of the body of Christ because of God's grace. Paul did not look qualified for the job. Not in any way possible. But Paul didn't feel qualified for this job that God had given him. Do any of us? I got to tell you, listen, there are times I feel way unqualified for doing what I'm doing. For being part of something that's way bigger than myself. That is such a mystery to me of how God moves and touches lives and transforms people. That just absolutely blows me away sometimes. That God would choose to use me in some way to be part of his kingdom. But listen, it's not just me, and it's not just Paul. It's all of us. God wants to use all of us to be transforming agents and grace extenders into the world in which we live. Here's the thing about verse 10. Verse 10 says, you know, the devil and the fallen angels, they were convinced that when Jesus was crucified, they won. They were convinced that when Jesus died on the cross and was buried in a tomb, that it was all over. They had won the victory. And it was so confusing to them that for 2 days, Jesus laid in the ground, and then on the third day, what happened? Come on, church, what happened? He rose. Totally messed them up. And totally confuses them. And Paul is talking about the importance of the church, the importance of God's people, you and me, sharing that great news to a world in which we live. Because we live in a world that's confused. Did you know that? We live in a world that's messed up. We live in a world that's searching for truth. They don't know it, but they're searching for truth. And Paul wants us to understand this great privilege that God has chosen us to be his agents of change, to be his agents to carry out his eternal purpose through the church. Listen, the church isn't just some nice place to show up every week just because you don't have anything else better to do. That's not why we have the church. We have the church, us as God's people, the body of Christ is God's vehicle for making known his manifold wisdom in the world. And listen, don't miss verse 12. I said it's important. Oh, man. Listen, let's read it again. My goodness. What an important verse for us. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently, where? Into God's presence. We have to be shaking in our boots when we walk into the presence of God? Did it say we have to be afraid because God's up here and, you know, he's high and holy and we're just wimpy little human beings? Did it say that? No. It said we can come boldly with what? Confidence into the presence of God. So what that means is, church, that it doesn't matter what our situation is, it doesn't matter what time of day it is, it doesn't matter where we are in the spectrum of life, we can approach the throne of God with great confidence, with boldness. Why? Because He loves us. Because He desires to pour His grace into our lives over and over and over again. We have total access to God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Paul does not want us to miss that. That is no minor thing, church. We have access to God Himself, into His presence, whenever, wherever, and however. Listen, I always want to be part of something that's bigger than just me. And I think that's kind of the desire for all of us. I mean, who wants to just be us? I mean, I want to be something, part of something that's bigger than me. What Paul was saying here is just to get his mind around that and understand the mystery of the gospel helped him to do that, helped him to say, wow, this is way bigger than me. This is way bigger than anything I could ever have thought of myself. And you know, for some of us, you know, we see ourselves just in our normal everyday life. We're a salesperson, or we're a teacher, or we're a day laborer, or something. We just see ourselves as that. Listen, I want to tell you something this morning. And this is what Paul wants us to do. Let's take the mystery of this off. Let's pick up the veil and look. Because listen, church, you and I, we are children of God. We are part of the body of Christ. We are part of something way bigger than us, to bring God glory in all that we do, in all that we say, in all that we are, to extend His grace to a broken and lost world. Somebody said this, and I love this quote. Don't waste your life in the false peace of worldly comfort and small ambition and just being cool. Jesus is looking for gospel hooligans. I love that. I want to be a hooligan for Jesus. That's what I want to be. Jesus is looking for gospel hooligans who want to get messy and relevant and involved. And listen, church, if we're going to be gospel hooligans, if we're going to get messy, it's not going to happen inside these four walls. We got to step out. We got to be grace extenders to the world. We got to figure out places we can serve and show people Jesus. He wants to use you and me to advance the gospel. Don't miss out. Don't settle for a life that won't matter forever. Don't waste your life. Be part of what He's doing as a part of the body of Christ, the church. Be part of that. Go for it. The mystery is slowly being revealed. Let's pray together. God, thank You for Your word. Man, this chapter is a big deal. To think that we get to be part of something bigger than ourselves. We get to share in telling the mystery of the gospel to people. Showing the mystery of the gospel to people. Don't let us settle. Don't let us sit back and not want to jump in and be involved. Help us to give ourselves to You totally and completely. In Jesus' name.